Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. Family Sunday today, and we thought what a great day to just kind of celebrate and invite a special guest with us today. And we've been collecting the Hot Wheels for Haiti for a man who has had a heart for the people in Haiti for a while. In fact, John Obermeyer has made 18 trips to Haiti. And so we are just delighted and honored that you've come down from East Tawaskat through all the toll roads and the border to Flint, the sheltered city, to share with us today. So please welcome John this morning.
Well, from the people in Haiti, I say bonjour, which is very similar to the French, bonjour. Creole is spoken in Haiti, and I've been blessed to be able to learn that language over a period of time. But I must also say from the children of Haiti, merci un peu, quoi fait. Thank you from my heart, because this is an outpouring that will make a difference in the lives of children in Haiti. And I'll be telling you how it makes a difference in just a few minutes. But first, I'd like to show a short DVD. This is taken from one of my trips. It gives you a background on Haiti, and it also helps you to understand especially the needs in Haiti. So if we could play that now.
You're the God of this city, you're the King of these people, you're the Lord of this nation, you are. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless, you are. There is no one like our is no one like our God. The greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city, you're the King of this people, you're the Lord of this nation, you are. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless, you are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. The greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done. We believe.
What you saw there was Port-au-Prince, Haiti, before the earthquake. I have been there since. So this devastated area now has over 1 million orphans, over 500,000 child restivics. These are children that are picked up off the street and made into slaves. And approximately 800,000 people are still homeless in Port-au-Prince. There are three basic needs that we've heard about for many years: food, clothing, and shelter. When my wife and I started the mission in 08, we decided that there was a part missing from that. The first of these needs really is the need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. Then comes food, clothing, and shelter. And how have we met these needs? Every time we present gifts to children in Haiti, with every car that will be given out, there will be one of these, a tract written in Creole. For the younger ones, we have a story that we tell. So the gospel is presented with every gift. We also do what we call show and share, kind of like show and tell. I was a school teacher for over 30 years, and I called it drag and brag. But basically, show and share is when we show the love of Jesus by sharing the gifts that we have, and then we share the message of Jesus' love, which leads to the promise of hope and grace. The four basic needs then we established are, number one, when we go, when I take a team with me, it's the need of a Savior that's number one. Every child is given that tract. Second need is food. We do rice and bean feedings when we're there. We provide clean water, and we also have from time to time drives to collect peanut butter. Peanut butter is gold to the nutrition of children in Haiti. 2 tablespoons of peanut butter can sustain a child for another day. And we've shipped thousands of jars of peanut butter to Haiti. You probably are thinking, wow, that must be expensive to ship it. Fortunately, our shipper deals with cubic feet, so weight doesn't come into it. We pay $4.50 a cubic foot to ship items to Haiti. The process is this. I am the caretaker of the boxes. Every box that I get from Hungry Howie's or our local pizza parlor, these are boxes that cheese come in. I take them apart, turn them inside out, hot glue them, put them back together, and tape them, because nothing that goes in to the port can have any words on it. So I stopped counting at 12,000 boxes. I'm still doing it. My shoulders are still holding up. The third need is clothing. Our mission is very fortunate. We have wonderful people who have made things for us. for such a long time. Mrs. Vargo, would you please stand so they can see you? This dear lady has made many, many items and collected several hundred for us here in this area. We provide the pillowcase dress. We've sent 350,000 to Haiti. The ladies have provided boys shorts, cloth diapers. They are pinless diapers. My wife and I designed these diapers because so many of the babies we work with have AIDS. So we did not want to have a pin and possible blood exposure or exposure. Baby blankets and comfort quilts. Let me tell you about comfort quilts. Many of the children who, after the earthquake, were fortunate enough to be adopted and receive emergency visas to leave the country, brought with them that one item, their comfort quilt that we had given to them in the years before. And we've had many, many stories about what it meant to them to be able to carry their comfort quilt with them. Finally, shelter. We've been fortunate enough to collect thousands of sheets, which they put up to provide protection. Some tents, although we can't afford to buy as many tents as are needed. You have to understand, I'm with the American Red Cross. I'm a disaster manager with the American Red Cross. Our tents are designed for a 6-month life. Now, Haiti's earthquake was in January of 2010. So all those tents that were donated by the Lions and the Kiwanis and Samaritan's Purse and the Red Cross, they've all dwindled to nothing, and they still have needs. When someone asks me why we started our mission, I'm always happy to tell them and to show them a picture. We found out in January of 2008 that these two precious children were going to be our grandchildren. They were being adopted, and I had never wanted to go to Haiti. I was raised in an affluent home when I was growing up. I didn't want anything to do with hardship, but God touched my heart that day and said, you will go to Haiti and you will be the first one to see and know your grandchildren. And 14 trips later, they came to the United States. So I was the first one that they really knew in Haiti. This is Armand and this is Elmis. They live in Midland with their parents. They are doing beautifully. The second reason that people ask is, why do you go beyond that? I'd like you to look at this picture for a minute. I think you'll be quite surprised when I tell you about this. This is a picture I took of a lady making these. I stood there and I wondered what they were for. And then I saw the children gathering. And I thought, what are the children excited about these clay discs? This picture shows a Haitian woman making a mud cookie. It is made of clay and oil and salt. And the children of Haiti feel like it's a delicacy. Now I must tell you why they eat it. They love the taste of the salt. But they eat it to fill their tummies. And that touched me in a very special way when I realized how desperate they were. Pregnant women eat these. Because, as you know, a pregnant woman is having all of her nutrients taken from her by the baby. So she's hungry a lot. and they eat it. Now I brought one back and had it tested, and they're full of bacteria. If I was to eat these, it would be different. For them, it's not a problem. The toys that you collected today for the children in Haiti are going to bring a lot of smiles, and I am thrilled in their behalf to thank you for that. Most children in Haiti do not have a single toy. This is what they play with: shards of glass, stones, sticks when they can find them, because sticks are very precious. They're used to make the fires that cook their food. So when you give them a toy, it's a very special thing. When our daughter Sarah, who went to Haiti years before I went, she is a nurse practitioner in Los Angeles, she said, if you want to send something, perhaps you could send some dolls. So my wife and I sent 24 dolls. She was so overwhelmed with little girls that wanted the dolls, and this shows their resourcefulness. They took the dolls apart, and one would have an arm and one would have a leg. They'd take turns sharing the head. That's how resourceful these children are and how thankful they are. And that helped me to realize that toys are a need. And I remember Hot Wheels, having them, not when I was growing up, I don't think they were around then, but seeing them with children and being a teacher. And I realized that a little Hot Wheels car is easy to ship, it's durable, and not only that, as a teacher, I want children to be vocal, and the children in Haiti are very quiet. When I handed out cars for the first time in Haiti, I was delighted because all of a sudden they were in a row going around the walls of this orphanage, and you were hearing siren sounds and motor sounds. So they were getting stimulated by this toy. So that's why we've continued to send the Hot Wheels for Haiti. We had reports of parents in Haiti who lost their children because of the earthquake. They wanted to make sure they had their Hot Wheels car buried with them. And I'm going to share with you some of the questions that come up to me often. I know a lot of you want to know where Haiti is. You think of Haiti as being on the other side of the world, and it's not. It's an hour and 45 minutes from Miami. It is a different world, but it's only an hour and 45 minutes away, which is amazing when you think of it, that they could be so close and have such a great need. The island where it is shared with the Dominican Republic, and when you fly in to Port-au-Prince, you see Haiti as a blackened land. No trees. They cut down the trees for the wood to make fires. You look at the Dominican Republic and it's beautiful and green and lush. And there is a border between them, and only on rare occasions are Haitian people allowed to cross the border. There are work camps near there because they're desperate for work, and the Haitians will stay in those camps at night. They're bug infested. It's a terrible place, and when you go there, you are overwhelmed when you see it. But they're thankful for a job in the Dominican Republic. If they return after 6 o'clock at night and they are caught, they must serve 30 days hard labor in the Dominican Republic. Shortly after the earthquake, the Dominican Republic tried to close its borders. Many of us were trying to get in through the Dominican Republic. Fortunately, governments objected, and many of the first responders came in through the Dominican Republic. What's the weather like? You remember those hot days recently that you had? In Haiti, they're hotter. When I was there managing a guest house a couple of summers ago, it was nothing to see 95 first thing in the morning and up to 115 by later in the afternoon. So it's a very hot place. You say, why do we send quilts there then? Because to them, when it gets 70 and 75 in the winter, it's cold. So they need something to cover. There's another reason they need a cover. Mosquitoes are a problem. Rats are a problem. So it's a source of protection for them from these. Do they grow food in Haiti? That's always a question that comes up. They used to grow rice, no more. They have very few cattle. They do have bananas, oranges, grapefruit, and they love mangoes. Mangoes are their favorite. When our grandchildren came to the United States, and they were in Florida, that was the first leg of their trip, they went to a grocery store and were overwhelmed. They couldn't pick any fruit because it was so overwhelming to see the display. Now they love it, and we're always looking out for mangoes for them. How do they get their food in Haiti? Some go to grocery stores, because there are some. Most buy them in the market. The market is infested with rodents and flies, so it's not healthy food, but it's what they have available. And now the story of my grandchildren. We found out in 2008, in January, when our daughter was sharing the events of her mission trip to Haiti, that we would become grandparents. And we were very excited. And so I started going there the next month. And in the process of all of this, it takes about 4 years to adopt a child from Haiti. It's a very long process. And when the earthquake hit, January 12th, 2010, I received text messages from the American Red Cross, because I go to national disasters and international disasters. And I looked at the text and I pulled the car over, because it said, devastating earthquake, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Projection 300,000 dead. Minutes after it occurred, that was their prediction, which was more than correct. I had two grandchildren living in Port-au-Prince at that time. That night, I went to my daughter's house and we sat and waited. There was no cell phone coverage, no way to communicate. We watched the horrible presentations and could only pray that they were well. Shortly after midnight, a call came to the house. It was, and some people would say, wow, that's an interesting thing that happened. No, God planned this. A young lady was in Haiti who knows my daughter. She, when the earthquake occurred, she walked over to the orphanage where the children were to help, and that night she called to let us know that she had prayed with them in a field near Port-au-Prince and tucked them in, and they were well. Well, the miracle goes on. Then the next battle would be, how many years would it be before they could come? How much longer? I was the first family member to see them after the earthquake, so I could give that verification to Grandma, who said, you look them over and make sure everything is okay. And it was an amazing thing, because just 6 days after that earthquake, she received a call, our daughter did, saying, the children have received emergency visas The director walked 27 children, ages 7 and smaller, to the embassy over 5 miles away in the middle of the night, playing a snake game, and she took them at dark because she didn't want them to see the bodies. She got word. We were excited. There were no flights. No flights to Florida. They had to fly to Florida. I said, we'll help you with first class. Nothing is available then. Nothing. We finished our conversation, and within minutes, she called me back. There is a cry that even your grown children have that you recognize as either a very sad cry or very good cry. This was a good cry. So I'm on the other end of the phone saying, okay, I'll just wait. I know it's good. I know there's good news. And she told me she had been called by the Dow Chemical Company, and their corporate jet was being prepared to take off from Midland to fly them to Florida. We still don't know how those people knew about it, but God did. And that is the amazing story of their survival. They are thrilled to be in the United States. They're happy children. They're doing well in school often. And I would say that they are some of the most fortunate children from Haiti. I want you to know that the reason they were available to adopt was not because their mother had died. Their father was shot accidentally by the United Nations. They overreact a great deal in Haiti. In fact, I've had guns pulled on me by UN, and I just walk on. I don't pay any attention to it anymore. It's a hard thing to understand. But when they lost their father, the family unit then needed to find someone who would care for them. And a man who knew my niece, who's the girl's, our grandchildren's mother, he offered to have them come and live with them, but he could only take two of the children. And so she took those two children to an orphanage in Port-au-Prince. Now the amazing thing is that orphanage was started by a lady who had traveled to Haiti with my daughter. My daughter's taken many, many teams from Los Angeles. And she introduced this lady to Haiti. This lady started the orphanage from which our grandchildren came. And so it has been an amazing adventure. I want to thank you so much for everything that you have provided for these children. And I would ask you all to just continue to pray for the needs of Haiti. It's overwhelming. There will be no end to this. It won't occur in my lifetime, I'm sure. It's going to take a long time. It was a poor place before, and it is a devastated place now. But we know that he is the God of the city, and Port-au-Prince is his. And we've claimed it time and time again for him, and we'll continue to do that. Thank you very much.
That was inspiring and humbling, and I pray also encouraging too. I'm not even going to touch my notes, because it's there's nothing to be said, but there's a lot more to be said and to be done as well. Missions is important. We are Macedonia. We're the small church that can do much because God is alive and works in our hearts. We may be a small church in Flint, but that doesn't mean we can't affect the world as far as who we are. And every time we partner with people like John and these missions that go into foreign places, we are there in spirit. Every time that we give to organizations like Jews for Jesus. We are a part of what they do. Every time we give to New Churches of Christ evangelism, we're a part of building new churches and affecting lives, people that we'll never meet, but God knows. I do want to close the message with a song that I think is appropriate and to encourage us and to challenge us in our lives as believers in Christ to do what he has called us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The challenge is, will we be there? Will we partake? And will we help? In a world full of broken dreams, where the truth is hard to find, for every promise that is kept, there are many left behind. And though it seems that nobody cares, it still matters what you do, 'cause there's a difference you can make, but the choice is up to you. Will you be the one to answer to his call? Will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to take his light into a darkened world? Tell me, will you be the one? And oh, sometimes it's so hard to know who is right and what is wrong. Where are you supposed to stand when the battle lines are drawn? There is a voice that keeps calling out for someone who's not afraid to be a beacon in the night to a world that's lost its way. Will you be the one to answer to his call? Will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to take his light into a darkened world? Tell me, will you be the one? There are still some battles we must fight from day to day, but the Lord provides the power for me to stand and say, yes, I'll be the one to answer to his call. I will stand when those around me fall. I will be the one to take his light into a darkened world. Will you be the one? Will you be the one? Will you be the one? Say, I will be the one. Let us be the one. Father God, we thank you so much for the time that John took to share with us.
And Lord, we can become so complacent, so detached, when there is such a need. Father, may this be an encouraging time for us to be utilized by you in the greater picture for all of your glory, for all of your praise, that you might display your love to all the world. Thank you for the time given to us and for the touching of our hearts and for glorifying yourself even in this. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
I just wanted to touch on one thing that may have happened to you because it happened to me. I'm sitting there and his the testimony of what he does, the work is powerful. And then there's a thought that comes into my head and says, you know what? You're not doing enough. Look at you. Look at where you are. Look at what you've done. And I wanted to just say, just in case any of those thoughts came into you as well, the Spirit of God never convicts and tells you what you've done wrong. The Spirit of God convicts and says, look at what you can do. Satan is the one who says, look at what you've done wrong. Don't you feel bad about yourself. Our church, our little church, has helped in one way. May it be a blessing. God knows. And what we choose to do from here is us in God. But don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that you missed the boat somewhere. That is Satan. I was getting that attack right there. I just thought, if I was the only one, maybe next time when it is you, you know, this will help. But if you weren't, if I wasn't the only one, and other thoughts have come in your head too, that's what it is, just so you know.
Amen. Some good words. Also, John has a table out in the hallway with some of the quilts and things and information. Stop by there. If you've been moved that, hey, how do I go to Haiti? How do I help? Talk to him about that, you know. One person can make a difference. You know, we heard that testimony of the woman introduced by his daughter, which turned around. God works in not mysterious ways, but he revealing ways. You know, just be open to what God's doing. By the way, just before a closing song, if you need prayer for anything, I don't want to do the typical closing we do, but just come see one of us so we can pray for you. If you don't know Christ, let us share him with you. If you've never been baptized, let's talk about that. If you got things on your heart, let's just pray him out. You know, God is so powerful. What a blessing today was. John, thank you for making that trip. Appreciate that. Yes. Thank you, God. Let's stand. We'll sing our closing song.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, sorrow turned to praise is only by his grace. Praise the Lord, which God supplies, strength unknown he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Praise the Lord, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us go forth in grace alone, that you might receive all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.